Reformed Church.
Just something I was thinking about regarding the sort of revolving around the parable of the seed and the sower from Mark 4. Mark 4 and Luke 8 in particular are the two different passages that I was looking at. And a particular thought about that. When I was younger, I remember just like when I was first growing in a lot of things from sort of like a traditional way of thinking, I remember that every time I would do something wrong, I felt like my progress with the Lord was being hindered. I felt like, oh, you know, like I was doing so well, and then you like, you know, I did that again. And I always felt that like it whenever I sinned, that my somehow some kind of progress, like my record was broken, or my progress was being hindered with the Lord by the fact that I did something wrong. And then I was thinking one day, and I'm like, why would just sin affect my progress with the Lord or my growth in Him, if growth is really just the Lord sowing His word into my heart, putting the seed in there? Then the only way that I could hinder my progress, like the growth of my understanding of the Word of God, would be to take the seed out, right? If my progress, by progress, if what I'm saying by that is my growth in my understanding of the Lord, why would sin hinder my progress in and of itself? Why would the fact that I did something wrong affect my growth if I'm keeping the seed in there? And once I realized that, I'm like, well, yeah, if you go by the parable of the seed and the sower, as long as you don't deviate your attention from the Word of God, then my progress is not hindered, right? And in particular, when you read Mark 4:16, I'm just going to start reading for the sake of time, but Mark 4:16, King James Version, this is the Lord explaining the two middle types of ground. And it says, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, these are people that legitimately hear the word of God, immediately receive it with gladness, you know, as everyone does, because it's good news, and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time afterward. But it says, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And that word offended just means to be tripped up or like to be entrapped. And so this is someone who does receive the word of God, but when they're persecuted for or they receive some kind of opposition or rejection from people due to what they believe, they give up their attention on the word of God. They soften up on the word of God because of people's rejection of them. So that's one area that he talks about, that we can be distracted from the word of God. But then in verse 18, it says, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word of God, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word. You see, the only way that you can hinder your progress is not with just the act of sin itself, or just the fact that life itself can hinder, like the cares of this life, or the things that go on in this world, or the things that people say to you. Those things by themselves can't hinder your progress in the Lord unless you invite them into your mind, okay? There's a difference between, for instance, in my example, I'll just go over that first, of doing something wrong, doing something that is not righteous, doing something that is not right. There's a difference between just doing something wrong and then maintaining the Word of God in your heart and saying, you know what, Lord, but I'm pressing on to know you and I'm fixing my attention on you, versus what the Bible talks about in Romans 1, where what you also can do with unrighteousness is you can allow the unrighteousness to suppress the truth. And that's actually when unrighteousness becomes all the more dangerous, is when the lust of other things, like it explains here, enters into your heart and deviates your attention from the Word of God. Because the pleasures of sin and things in this world by themselves can't hinder your progress with the Lord, but they can deviate your attention from the Word of God. And that obviously would hinder your progress, not just because you did something wrong, but because you're suppressing the truth. You're hindering the truth with unrighteousness. And there are people, for instance, that seek after unrighteousness and give their attention to sinful pleasures or give their attention to lusts of the flesh and things that they're lusting after again, and this could be, you know, whatever, boys or girls or money or power, or when you begin giving your attention to these things, it's not that doing something wrong hinders your progress in the Lord by itself. It's that when you suppress the truth, when you push down the truth and push away your attention on the truth for the sake of seeking after those things, not for the sake of the wrong action itself, but anytime you suppress the truth with anything, it could be sinful pleasures, it could be ministry. You can get your attention so focused on ministry that you're not really focused on just getting the Word of God for yourself anymore. It could be anything, even things that are good in and of themselves. If you're suppressing the truth, that's what hinders the Word of God. That's what hinders your growth in the Word of God, is anytime that the truth, your attention is deviated from the truth. So when it says that the lusts of other things, if you have a lustful thought, that doesn't necessarily hinder your progress unless you receive that and begin focusing your attentions on those things. If you will say, you know what, I'm going to focus my attentions on the Word of God and keep that seed in my heart, there is nothing that is going to stop your growth in the Lord, even because you will do wrong things as you grow in the Lord, right? I'm not advocating it. I'm not saying that we should try to. I'm just saying that you will do wrong things and make mistakes and say things wrong and think things wrong as you grow in the Lord. But it's keeping the seed center in your heart. It's keeping the Word of God and the gospel in your heart that maintains your growth steadily. As long as you're fixing your attentions and your whole heart on the Lord and what He's speaking to you, and that's what you're seeking after, something that you do wrong in and of itself is not going to hinder that growth as long as you don't allow the lust of other things to enter in and choke out the Word, right, or suppress the truth with that unrighteousness, because it's the suppression of the truth that hinders your growth, not the unrighteousness itself. But when people use unrighteousness, for instance, to be an excuse to seek after the things of this world, to seek after, again, money or power or other people or admiration from other people, when you do that and your attention goes there and your attention isn't wholly on the truth, that's what hinders your progress. And the same thing goes, and so before I even leave that point, that's what it says with the lust of other things, the deceitfulness of riches. You notice too that it's not riches that chokes the Word of God out. If that were the case, Solomon would have not been, the wisest man of his time with the wisdom of God, mind you. Okay, it wasn't riches. It's not riches that hinders it. It's the deceit of riches. See, when the deceit, the false impression that riches is the answer to your problems, or that if you can get more money than somebody else, that somehow fixes something, it's the deceit that comes, that you can receive from riches that actually chokes the Word of God out. Why? Because it's not something that you're doing with money that hinders it. It's when money enters your heart and suppresses the truth and deviates your attention from the seed. Anything that takes your attention from the seed is what hinders your progress, not the thing itself, not even the unrighteousness itself. We're still righteous in the Lord. And again, I'm not advocating unrighteousness. I'm just saying that doing something wrong can't hinder your progress by itself if you maintain the seed. With attentions fully on the seed, you just have to make sure that when I talk about doing something wrong, that, again, that your attentions are not seeking after things that are not the gospel and centered around what Jesus did for you. The last thing I'll mention here is when he says the cares of this world, even the cares of this world, they're sort of a more updated interpretation of this particular verse that the Lord has sort of given me over the past few months. But Jesus said, in this world you have tribulation. And the truth of the matter is, this world is full of tribulation and full of trouble. And there are things that even in your life as a believer, doesn't even necessarily mean that you're doing the wrong thing or believing the wrong thing just because something arises in your life, right? Obviously, we don't have to suffer the effects of this world, but we still live in a world full of tribulation, right? And there are things, even when we go through things in our life, that the world or the trouble or the problems themselves can't hinder your progress, okay? Trouble or even problems that you experience in your life can't hinder your progress in the Lord. The difference is, there's a difference between a circumstance happening outside of you and then letting that circumstance happen up here, okay, in your mind for those listening on audio, right? So there's that difference. Circumstances can happen outside of you in your life or in somebody else's life, and that ultimately not even all of those things can be helped because we do live in a world full of tribulation. Again, I'm not advocating the need or necessity to suffer things in this world. But even if you're not suffering something in this world, you live in a world full of tribulation in which problems will arise all around you all the time, even if we had full knowledge of the Lord and we weren't suffering any of the effects. The world's going to be the world until Jesus comes back, right? Because there are people that are going to be unbelieving, and that's the reason. But there's a difference, regardless of any of that. There's a difference between circumstances happening in your life and circumstances happening in your mind. You see, the cares of this world and the things that are being cared over here, that it's being explained, the problems in this world, the things that are going on in the world, is not what choked the Word of God out, is not what stopped the growth of the seed and made the seed unfruitful. It was the cares and the worry and concern, the pouring over of our mind and attention over the things of this world, entering in. You see, problems can happen in your life. Don't let the problems happen in your mind. Okay? The problems can happen in your life. Don't let the problems happen in your mind. It's when the problems go from being in your life. And you know, if you have a poor reaction at first to problems in your life, guess what? There's always an opportunity to have a second reaction to those problems. Make your second reaction better than your first reaction if your first reaction wasn't good. And trust me, the more you grow, the more you're not going to be tossed to and fro where your first reaction has to be poor. But regardless, the problems that are happening out here, as long as the seed goes on up here, and listen, don't get, even if you feel a certain way, don't even be led by your feelings and all of that. Don't worry about it. Your feelings will follow your thoughts. Just let the seed go on up here and let the things of this world happen, if they're happening, but you won't hinder your progress in the Lord or the fruitfulness sort of at the end of that growth if you maintain the Word of God in your mind. It's only keeping the seed in the ground that produces the fruit. And nothing can hinder that progress if the seed is kept in the ground. It's when we allow the problems of this world to deviate our mind from that seed that we hinder our fruitfulness. And that's what these people did. These people did not hinder their fruitfulness because these people never saw the fruit that God wanted them to see by the word that he first spoke to them. They didn't hinder that fruitfulness because they had problems. They didn't even hinder that fruitfulness because they did things wrong. They hindered their fruitfulness because the wrong that they were doing and the lust for other things, they allowed those lusts to deviate their mind from the seed and choke the seed out. They gave enough attention to these things that it choked out and crowded out the word of God that was first spoken in their heart and therefore made the seed unfruitful. And the same thing with the cares of this world. They didn't choke the seed out because they went through problems. They choked the seed out because they let the problems enter into their heart and then deviate their attention from the word of God that they knew they had been spoken. That right there is the difference between going through a problem and yet maintaining your progress and seeing the fruit that God wants you to see in your life, or doing something wrong and yet still progressing in the Lord and seeing the fruit in that area that God wants you to see in your life, versus those that go through problems or do things wrong and then never see the fruit. It's, you know what? One, maintain the seed despite the problem, maintain the seed despite the wrongdoing or unrighteousness. And the other person, because of the lust of other things, because of the unrighteousness and the pursuit after it and the attention they gave it, or the problems that happened, and they allowed their focus on those problems to crowd out the word of God in their heart. That is the difference between bearing fruit and not bearing fruit. Not whether you do something wrong or whether you have problems or whether you hit problems. Those things are going to happen as you grow in the Lord. Okay? Those things are going to happen as you grow in the Lord. And yet you will still see the fruit that God wants you to see in your life. If you, Luke 8:15 is the same parable, just in a different gospel, okay? So Mark 4, Luke 8, Matthew 13 are all the parable of the seed and the sower, just by different writers. So Luke 8:15, if you do this, you will still bear fruit. Even when you do something wrong, even when you hit problems, if you do this, it says, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest, which the word honest means a beautiful, right? We talked about beautiful feet, right? A beautiful and good heart. A heart that receives the word of God and holds on to it, God says that's a beautiful heart. A beautiful and good heart. Beautiful and good heart is not about your best intentions or the fact that you never thought something wrong before. A beautiful and a good heart is despite all the other things that you've thought wrong in the past, or even in the present, or even in the future, that you receive the word of God and you continue to receive the word of God and you continue to picture it. That's a beautiful and good heart. It's a commendable heart. And the people that we respect, just so you know too, should I think, a lot of times needs adjusting. Those are the people I respect. There's a lot of people online, a lot of people, you know, there's YouTubers, there's celebrities, there's movie stars, there's music artists, there's all these different people, and I don't have my particular honor unless you are of a beautiful and good heart that receives the word of God. Those are the people I respect. Those are my brothers, and those are my sisters, and those are the people that I honor. But it says, and having heard the word, these are the people that bear the fruit. They heard the word, which they, you know, three out of the four heard the word, or actually really they all heard the word. Three of them received it. But it's not that they just hear the word. They keep it. Right there. They keep it. They keep it. They keep it. Not everybody keeps it. And then they bring forth fruit with patience. Patience means continuance, right? Continuing in the word that they heard at first. It's when you keep it for the long run that you're going to see the fruit in your life. The problems themselves can't hinder your progress unless you allow them to enter in here and deviate your attention from the Word of God. Again, don't worry about your emotions. Don't worry about all that stuff. It's about keeping the Word of God that He spoke to you and remembering the Word of God that He spoke to you and continuing in that. It says they bring forth fruit, the fruit for which God first spoke that word to them. They bring forth the fruit, but with continuance. That's what patience means. It's not patience like just kind of waiting around and say, no, it means to continue long in something. And those are the people that bear the fruit, right? So anyway, I just wanted to give you that kind of word about our progress in the Lord, our growth in the Lord, because I think there definitely are misconceptions as to what hinders progress and what doesn't hinder progress. And so no matter what happens, just don't replace the word. Don't replace the seed that God put in your heart. If you don't replace that seed with attention on other things, and you maintain that seed and remember that seed, if you continue in it and keep it, you will bear fruit with patience, right? You will bear the fruit that God wants you to see in your life. So that's how salvation worked, and that's how everything works in our life, right?
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.